I have the opportunity before, some people inviting me doing music videos or under their label as well. I have this fear of being in videos and doing music videos. And honestly, super honestly, I'm really uncomfortable doing that.
First of all, thank you for being on video today, because you said that you don't want to be on video. I hope you're not uncomfortable.
Hey Zesties, welcome to the Gleeful Talk Show, where we share zesty stories to cultivate the happiness and hero within. In today's episode, we are going to explore the life, joys, and struggles of an indie singer-songwriter from Cebu, Philippines. She started playing ukulele and transitioned to playing other musical instruments. From the happy music of ukulele in her album To Kill a Note in 2018, she evolved her music to a darker funk rock music and released her newest album, Medicine. Please welcome Kersley Potter.
Hi, Kersley. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
The pleasure is mine. I think we've known each other since ukulele days. We were just like acquaintances, but it would be great to have a little bit of chat with you and to know you more and our listeners as well. So I wanted to ask, what first got you into music?
What first got me into music? Honestly, before, I'm not really into music. It's not that, oh, it was like since childhood. It's not like that. So I started to have a great interest with music during college days when I first performed in an acquaintance event. So that's where the spark began. And yeah, I seriously started writing songs during those days.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. For me, yeah, I was into music when I was a child, but I didn't really got into writing, like tried to release anything. But it's great that like you started in college and really did some serious music. And come 2019, 2020, you have now released albums. So what inspired you to make music in itself? Like, because you started out in that acquaintance party and then really got you to this serious business of songwriting?
I got a lot of inspirations like from my reference artists. And the main inspiration that I had was the feeling of performing during that day. Like, I was genuinely happy. And from that day on, this is just, it happens like, I was starting to, you know, really like it and got interested to it. It's like somehow love at first sight, something like that. Because honestly, I thought that I was going to be focusing on visual arts, because since I was a kid, like I was doing drawing and all that stuff, like visual arts. And I never really didn't expect that I'll be interested in music. So the feeling that I had performing and having the support of some people like inspired me to do music, and it feels really good. So yeah.
Oh, wow. Awesome. From then on, so you started with ukulele and then you kind of shifted to become a more like a darker, more mature funk rock music. So what inspired the transition?
That one, I think it's just because I'm more open to music, and because as I age, like we see reality. It depends on a lot of people. Like it depends on how you see things. And me personally, I see things negatively lately. So that's why my sound is super different than before. Like before I was so happy, and right now it becomes darker, and I just can't help but making like super sad music, because that somehow reflects what I'm feeling. And as I age, I see reality as sad in a way. But there are also happy moments. It's not really like that all the time. But yeah, that the shift was like that because of my emotions and the way I see things. And of course, listening to other artists as well. So they influence me in doing stuff like that.
So, I kind of agree with you on that, with the aging stuff. I'm also aging, and my taste in music also evolved. And I think because, yeah, as you said, like you see things differently or clearly now. And also, it's good that you're pouring all these emotions into music, which is also like a win-win situation, right? Like pouring out the negative and then people listen to it and then you make good music.
Oh, by the way, I'm curious, like you said your music has evolved. I'm curious like, what type of music.
My taste in music evolved. Yes. Yeah, because before high school, I don't know if we are in the same generation, but high school, I was very into Linkin Park, the punk music, Green Day, those emo, then it became emo music, like Blink-182 or Secondhand Serenade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it evolved because I was... so I listened to a lot of anime songs and I sing them, even though I don't understand some of them. But that is like, they call it J-pop, J-rock. And then now, like I'm very old, now I'm into K-pop.
Oh, yeah, it's like super different things, like from Linkin Park to...
Yeah, it's like I'm reversing, right? Because I should have been in the K-pop when I was in high school, but it wasn't it wasn't a thing back then. But there were like Korean dramas before, I think, and I was also singing them.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if you watch Korean dramas, but for me personally, it's the music, even though I don't understand the lyrics, it's the feel of the song, right? Because music is universal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What is your creative process in writing the music in itself or a song?
Oh, I have a, I don't know if it's weird or it's just common creative process, but creativity sometimes like it's buzzing you up at 12 midnight or 1 a.m. Like it's so annoying, right? Like you feel so creative around that time. And what I'm gonna do is I just can't feel it. Like I can feel the hype. I really have this hype moment and I cannot sleep. So what I'll do is I'm gonna get my guitar and I'm never gonna stop playing. Like I'm technically not really a good instrumentalist. Like I just copy chords and create my own melody. And from that on, I have my phone beside me all the time so that if ever I can think of melody, I didn't record it. Like, you should grab the chance while you feel so creative, you should grab it. Like, you can find treasures from that. And then, I'll play for 30 minutes or probably an hour. Like, my phone will be really hot around that. And I just play. And after that, I'll be drained. And I'll come back to my phone and then try to listen to what I played. And if ever I can find like a potential song, then I just get back to it. And after creating melody, I can easily create melody. That's the easiest for me. But I am not a lyricist. Like, I'm really bad at writing lyrics. Like, it's the hardest part for me. Sometimes one song can take me 2 years to finish because of the lyrics. But there are also other songs that I finish for 10 minutes. Like it depends on your hype or your emotions. And that's my creative process. And right now I am experimenting like this software. It's an FL Studio something. It's a common software where I can put some drums or whatever and there I can create a song. Yeah, that's sort of my process.
I totally agree with you on that creativity part because even me as well, yes, the creativity comes knocking at you at like 12 midnight and 1 a.m. And my problem even now is when I hold the guitar, it takes me like 4 hours. So it really eats up my time if I hold the guitar. So sometimes like maybe I just not hold it for now because if I start playing it, the whole night is gone. Yeah. But I totally agree with you on that creativity part. And I'm surprised as well that so you have preference, like you prefer or you are much more comfortable with the melody rather than the lyrics. Yeah. I'm the opposite. So I write more like a poem or something, but it's hard for me to find a good melody.
Yeah,
for it.
That was really weird because so that's why I formulated a certain topic. It's because of my melody. So, for example, when I sing a song, like blah blah blah, just gonna be playing my guitar and sing random, you know, you pronounce some gibberish like words that you don't really mean. And for me, it fits on the melody. And from that on, if I think that, oh, this sounds so good in this specific melody, so from that moment, I'll then create a topic from that one. So that's like my process. I'll create a story, or it can be a random story, it can be my experience preferring to that specific word. So for example, I'm playing and like I pronounce the word medicine out of nowhere. And from that on, oh, medicine. Mm. Oh, and that from that on, it's like a game. Then I'm going to be creating a topic, or my lyrics is going to be surrounding within the word medicine. So yeah, that is like my common creative process. Like I'm really, I adore people like who writes lyrics easily like you. Like that is so hard for me. So yeah, props.
Oh, me, the reverse is the same. So because I can easily write lyrics, and the melody is just hard. So anyway, but there's, I don't know if you've seen the movie Rocketman, Elton John's life story.
Not yet.
Okay, because I don't know if you know the background, but I only knew it when I saw the movie, because Elton John is really like a genius. And then, but he doesn't write the lyrics. Another person writes the lyrics for him. So there, it's like they are a team. So I was like surprised that actually it works that way as well in the music industry, because I only thought that the singer-songwriter really just writes songs and then, you know, the melody. But some people can, you know, you will be a team.
That's interesting. Like, I think, a lot of people are doing that as well.
Mm. So what went through your mind when you were doing the whole album?
Yeah, Medicine. If you have listened to the album, like I'm really planning for that one to sound really dark, super dark, because it was moment 2016, I think. Like I'm making the album for 3 years or two. And I was honestly really down. I don't know. I feel so sad around those years, and it reflects to my music, and I feel really emo around that era. Now, first, the few songs that I wrote are really dark music, and I realized that I have a lot of songs as well that are happy and about love and about positivity that I haven't released yet. And I was like, I should also include that in my album Medicine. So basically, like, Medicine is a combination of my sad years, like 2016 up, and my happy ukulele days, like those days that I rejected.
Yeah, so I heard the Dance With Me. It's there, right, in the album?
Oh, yeah, that one.
Track.
Yeah, it's actually, I didn't really wrote that song. That was from an Uruguay friend. He is from Uruguay, and he made a song for me, named Kershley, and I just messed the song and changed the lyrics because I think he is angry.
Are you still friends now?
When I release that and he agrees with me, he like, oh, can I change the melody and lyrics to Dance With Me, like something, and it's not Kershley anymore, because I feel I don't know, I'm not a sweet person, and I feel like if I'm gonna post that Kershley thing, like it's gonna be I feel weird. But yeah, that was a really nice song, and I messed it up with the Dance With Me, and now we are not talking.
It wasn't it's not a mess to the to us, the listeners. So I don't know between the two of you, but it was good.
And that bonus track is really different from the recording, right? Like it's, I don't know, it's just my mind is super random. If I decide things, I'm very decisive. Oh, let's put that, and after a few years I have regrets. But it was a nice song, but it just doesn't fit in with the whole album. Like it's what?
But it's good because you just put it as a bonus track. I don't know, because you're the pro here, but my opinion as a listener, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but if you're really listening from first to say, like, it's so sad range of emotion, and then suddenly like it was like the tune and everything like changed. It's like a weird change. honestly. But yeah, all good.
It's good. It's like when they drink the medicine, they feel better. So that's how the listeners felt, right?
Yeah. My album sounds so creepy somehow. So that they feel like, at the very end.
Yeah, they will feel relieved afterwards.
Yeah.
So after all the crying and the darkness, then they have the happy melody of Dance With Me. The medicine and the darkness of the album. So I wanted to ask, how hard is it or how easy it is to be an independent artist in Cebu?
It's a balanced because of course you're an artist, right? And you're writing songs, of course, for yourself, but also it feels really good if some people will listen to it, right? That's also the purpose of making music, like to share it to everyone. And by being an independent artist, like, I really didn't get that a lot of listeners. Well, I understand because my sound is so like indie. Like, it's not really, people will love it. It's either people will love it or will hate it, or they don't care. Yeah, regarding to marketing your own stuff, like, it's hard because you're just doing it on your own and just your friends from music industry is just helping you. And probably as an indie artist, most of my listeners are just musicians as well. Have you observed that? and the easy part probably is I'm myself and no one is controlling me, and I'm going to decide on my own, which I love that I have the full freedom about everything. So that's what I love about being an indie artist, is that I am not pressured like to do this, to do that, or to perform. If I don't like performing, I just can say no or whatever, or I don't really have to please everyone. I'm just doing what I really love. And yeah, that's the beauty of being an independent artist. So I guess I love it this way. Like, I'm happy this way.
So you would prefer if somebody would ask you, Kersley, can you be under our label? Would it just depend on the label, or you still prefer being an indie artist?
Personally, though, I really prefer to be an indie artist. I would share this, like, I have this fear of being in videos and doing music videos, and like, I don't know. That's why I got some invitations from different labels, and I don't know, they seem to realize that I'm not really that interested and just wanted to do things on my own. It's because of that fear that I have. I just want to make music, that's it. And I want people to like my music rather than liking me, like my personal self. So if like, I have a chance to just like be creating music and people don't know me, they just listen to my music and appreciate it, I feel really good. Yeah, I have that opportunity before, like some people inviting me, doing music videos are under their label as well. And honestly, super honestly, I'm really uncomfortable doing that because I just want to be myself. So that's probably why I'm still indie right now. Yeah, because of that. Sometimes it sucks. That's why we create music, to share it to everyone. People will appreciate your art. But the hardest part is sharing your art because you're just doing it on your own. If you're under the label, you will get promoted and your music will be out there, you know. But if you're an indie artist, like, the range of the promotion is really hard. So you'll stay indie and you'll just get less listeners. But I prefer being an indie artist. Yeah.
First of all, thank you for being on video today, because you said that you don't want to be on video. I hope you're not uncomfortable.
Yeah, regarding that one, as long as it's under my direction, like it's taking pictures, it's under my control. Like, I feel okay as long as I think my angle is okay. But if like some other people like taking videos of me and directing me stuff, like I'm sweating and I'm not really comfortable. I'm so awkward.
There's an artist that I know who doesn't show her face. I think, I don't know if you know, but it's Sia.
Yeah.
So she doesn't show her face, but she's under a label, so she's not indie. How do you juggle your being an artist and having a day job?
Oh yeah, that's really hard right now. Sleep. Like, what is sleep? Sleep is for the week, Anna. Just kidding. Yeah, there are days like when I was doing my album Medicine, because I set myself a deadline. And honestly, shout out to Shelter Studios, like my producer Gudo Al, like he's the one producing my song as well. So I'm not really the one doing the instruments for that specific album. Like he's helping me out regarding that. So I just do the music. And sometimes I just don't sleep. Like I stay late at night and just work in the day, and I can be really tired, but it feels good. Yeah.
Mm.
And for the Skydust album, I did that on my own. I have Skydust EP. Like there are sleepless nights that I'm going to sleep at 5 a.m. and I'm going to work at 9, you know, like things like that. Because of course, work is priority. Like we have no choice, but you know, but to earn.
So if you have to choose to become a full-time artist or being a visual artist or a design artist, what would you prefer?
Oh my God. That is so hard, but reality, you know?
Without thinking about money. Let's say you both earn for both of the medium.
Oh my God. I'm really happy doing music. This might be funny, but probably if I focus on music, like doing it every day, probably I might be passionate about art as well, like, right? Like we can't really tell.
It's always like the grass is greener on the other side, right?
Yeah. So we can't really tell. So as long as it's art, like visual or musical, like it's still art. Like it always go together. Like they are partners. So I think I'm just gonna balance it. I'm not really sure.
As an indie artist, you've mentioned about the struggles. Do you also have some other fears, like maybe perhaps insecurities in terms of being an indie artist?
Mm-hmm.
I think you've already discussed this, but if you would like to expand on that further.
Yeah, honestly, I have to be very transparent. It's not really hurting my feelings or whatever, but if I see like my listeners are 20, I have 20 listeners.
It was 38. I saw it was 44, then it became 38.
Yeah, 38. And then eventually it will be 10 to 0 or 1 because I'm always listening to my craft. But yeah, that's sort of when I see artists like they have like 100 or 1,000, like, wow, like, oh my God, like you want to reach that as well, right? Like it's that feeling. So from that on, I feel insecure, but it's not really that sort of a big deal to me. And I'm also very, very, very insecure with, I'm not really that insecure because I am a bad instrumentalist. Like I only know basics with regards to...
Same with me as well.
Yeah. And I'm very lazy as well to learn sometimes, like, or I have no time. So like I'm when I hear some other artists, like they can do everything, whatever they wanted, because they know the theories and stuff. And me, I'm just like trapped in this this basic bubble. So that's my target. Like right now, I'm really learning music theory. I'm slowly learning and will eventually get there so that I can feel like I can do whatever I wanted.
Well, what I can say is I don't know for you, but my personal opinion is that it's not because your music is crap that you have, that's why you have very low listeners.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't mean like that. So maybe they just don't know you, right? You're that not visible to them. And also with regards to learning basic stuff, I mean, all music-minded people always want to learn. Yeah. But my opinion, it depends on your strength, right? And maybe because I'm not into the music scene anymore, but it was my decision really to think of which one is my strength. strengths and weaknesses is just a context. So it's not like you are, that is your weak point, but it's just like the context of what. So I think you're doing good.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like, yes, I totally agree with that. The best instrumentalist, like, probably is, it's really hard for him, like, to create melody from your voice, or hard for him to create lyrics, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we have that sort of stuff. Like, I probably haven't really seen it yet, like, my strength, but probably me creating a song quickly, I think that's sort of my strength, even though I got it from the basic chords. So yeah, good thing that you opened that up. It kind of, you know, refreshed my mind a little bit about regarding that stuff. Yeah.
I have a story as well. So when I was in high school, so we have music class in high school. Mm-hmm. And so our last exam in the music class is to create a graduation song. Mm-hmm. And I was so pressured at that time because I was known to be a music person, like to play guitar. And I picked really hard chords. In the end, it didn't really sounded right. And what happened was my friend or our classmate won the song because they just use very simple chords. So I think it's not with the difficulty of the chord or the melody or whatever, but I think it's just maybe the feel of the song. So
the whole song itself.
Yeah. So because, you know, like if you're too pressured, it reflects in the song. So
Billie Eilish even have like 2-chord song. Probably that is a super hit. It's like we can't really tell. Like there are super complex chords or complex like really super complex instrument or something. But you know, people won't appreciate because it's super complex. It sounds you know, whatever.
Yeah, there is like maybe there's a niche for that.
Oh yeah,
but it depends on what you want, right? So if we want more people to appreciate, so. Yeah, more people would appreciate like maybe a simple one, I think. Yeah. That's what I noticed.
Yeah, as long as also you're natural with it, like you're happy doing it and it feels like the song is natural and it's not really forced.
So
that matters, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Who would you want to collaborate with in the future?
Can be any artist, can be.
Yeah, sure. Dream.
Oh my God.
It's okay. It's
I have a lot of artists to think of, even dead artists. We will collaborate in hell.
Oh my God.
Because I'm sure I'll be in hell. For now, what I can think of is, you know, Eddie Vedder.
No, I have to Google it. Sorry. I'm now into K-pop, so sorry about that.
No problem. He is the vocalist of Pearl Jam. Like Pearl Jam, and he also have solo projects. Like he did ukulele album that was my inspiration as well. And I don't know, like, oh my God, like when I just love how he makes his own music. Like it is really like from the soul. It feels like every time I hear him sing, like his solo songwriter or solo music, like I feel like I have these great goosebumps all over the place. And when I try to search for the lyrics, and it makes a lot of sense, and it's about life. It's a soul-ish song. Like if you're gonna listen, have you seen what's that movie? Have you seen? Wait,
yeah, Into the Wild.
Into the Wild. I think I should have watched that, and then I didn't.
The soundtrack around that movie is by Eddie Vedder. And I just really love how he makes the music. Like everything makes sense and everything is just so magical. I feel like I'm a changed person. You know that feeling like when you hear the song, like I feel like I should live my life, like sort of like that. So I'd like Eddie Vedder, like if you're listening.
Awesome.
Oh! Oh, who knows, right?
yeah, of course.
Let's collaborate.
And then, so other than Eddie Vedder, so if you are to open a show, like an opening act to a concert for any artist, who would that be? Aside from Eddie Vedder, if you want to collaborate with him, so yeah.
I am a fan of Red Hot Chili Peppers, so if ever like there's like an opening, I would really love to for Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like, I just love them overall, their funk songs and their personalities as well and their story. So, yeah.
Okay, awesome. And then what would be the song that we're going to perform on that?
Oh, my. Oh, that's weird because that's in a band. It's different from my solo project. Actually, I have a band, Kiss Puppy, and we are doing like very inspired by Red Hot Chili Peppers. So probably a song from Kiss Puppy, probably Holy Girl. Like, we haven't released that song yet, but I would love to perform that one with my band.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow. We're going to look out for that.
Yeah, soon.
And then, so what was your heart-wrenching song that you have ever written?
I think I have a song called Ghost Behind You. And for me, that's my favorite, actually. It's the darkest song that I created. And the lyrics, you will never understand that because I also don't understand my lyrics. No, honestly, I think people won't understand my lyrics, but it's really deep to me because when I was doing ukulele before, like, it was all happy tunes, like happy melody and happy vibes. And I suddenly created Ghost Behind You, like during those ukulele days. And it's like an eye opener. I felt like, oh my God, this is like my calling. You know, that feeling that from that moment on when I created Ghost Behind You, I feel so real and I feel like this is really me, like those sort of feeling. So that song was very special, but because even though I was creating a lot of happy songs and I suddenly created that one, and that was the start that I'm getting interested in making like super sad songs that I feel like it's really myself, like I feel like that's really me. So that's why, yeah, I created that song probably 8 years ago, or that was so long ago. And then I revived it during the medicine era. And because I don't want it to sound just like ukulele. I want it to sound like it's really like the end of the world or something. Something like that. Every time I try to listen to that song, I still have goosebumps, like personally. It's so weird to say that you still have goosebumps with your own song. Yeah, for that song. And that song is the least played song, I think. Like, there are no people listening to that song. But I personally, that's my heart-wrenching. Every time I hear that, like, I can really see myself.
Okay, I listened to that song. I got curious. You said that maybe people may not understand the song. Maybe you could give us a bit of glimpse to the song to help us appreciate more, perhaps?
Yeah, the chorus of that one is like, the song overall is about being so just feeling so alone. Like, there are certain days that I feel that during those days of happiness, you will really feel suddenly that you feel so alone. That song is just very hopeless. Like, the feeling of being very hopeless and the feeling you just don't want to move, like sort of that feeling, and you try to release it but you have no one to talk to. So that's why there's a lyrics though, without any friends, because sometimes, you know, you just feel for yourself like, I don't know if life is genuine enough. A lot of people will understand me, that they might be listening to me, but they are not really understanding the deep core of my emotion. So like, it's just a shallow world. Oh my God. Like, the feeling of the world is so shallow and you just don't want to move on. And yeah, that's the main feeling. And my chorus is, everybody's going, finding an endless charm. Like, probably all the people like doing their stuff and you just don't understand that and why, you know, it's sad. But yeah, that's my favorite.
Okay, well, I hope that the listeners will not be too sad listening to this song.
Oh yeah.
And now after that, they should listen to the Dance With Me, right?
Yeah, it will change their emotion. Like, real quick.
So if you could change something about the music industry in Cebu, what would it be?
This is just my observation, but I'm not really sure. But every time there are like performances or events, are musicians as well. You know that, right? Like, have you observed that? Like, the amount of support like Cebuano artists get is really different compared to Manila. If you heard that, right? Like, people are really listening and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I'm pretty sure, like 100%, 300% sure that there are a lot of really good artists here in Cebu that haven't discovered yet. I hope the Cebuano people will, not only stick with Manila musicians, because sometimes we have that mindset, oh, it's from Manila, it's famous, so that's why we are listening to that. But yeah, there are what's hype. They're gonna be sticking into that one because that's famous, like that's famous artist. Yeah. And here in Cebu, like there is no chance, like the chance is so less. There are a lot of beautiful songs. Cebuano don't even know that because, you know, they are so into like the Manila musicians. But I think now, like, there are some productions that are really doing well in regards to that. They are really doing their best. That's it. The amount of support, all right. I think.
Yeah, I agree with you in that. And even before I left the Philippines, I also noticed that there are a lot of talented musicians in Cebu, talented artists. Yeah. But not a lot of people or not a lot of Cebuanos know them. They only know maybe perhaps Urban Dub or...
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But that was like long ago and then they went to Manila, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I do hope that more people will be able to appreciate more, or perhaps there's just less exposure as well. Yeah. So maybe that's why. What message can you give to your listeners or your fans?
I can't really tell that they are fans. I don't think I have a fan. But yeah, to my listeners, I honestly really feel thankful for you guys for listening to my music, even though like it sounds so experimental. I'm just really thankful that you are still there, like 38 listeners. How much listeners do I have? Yeah, thank you. And I will never stop creating music. Like, it's my life. Like, it's who I am, and I will still do music even if I get really old and even though I don't have listeners anymore. Like, but yeah, I have some upcoming songs to release, and I'm planning to release my fourth album probably hopefully next year. So I will be having some sleepless nights because I might release some. Yeah.
So, fun questions before we wrap up. So, what do you sing in the shower?
In the shower, I sing Indian songs. Indian songs.
Indian
yeah,
songs?
Yeah, Indian songs.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really? You can sing in Indian or Hindi?
I tried. I'm not really sure if I'm doing the right thing, but I whenever I shower, like I just want to copy the that kind of style, which I really love. I love India, I love singing them.
Oh, cool. So, okay. Last question. If you have a superpower, what would it be and how would you use it?
Oh my God. If I have superpower, probably to teleport. That's really dope. Like, I really want to travel and just enjoy other cultures and befriend some different people, you know? That would be great. Yeah.
Totally agree. That's my answer as well. So with that question, same teleporting.
Yeah, just transferring to other country or place real quick and just a snap, you know, that's the really
yes, exactly. What's next for Kersley in the upcoming months or perhaps next year, if you could share to us?
Mm-mm. For Kersley, for my solo project, I'm not really sure if I have something because I'm really busy with work, but I'm doing my best, but there's no timeline yet. Probably next year or next 2 years, or probably I'll die around here.
So morbid.
I don't know what will happen, but I'm writing songs and I have a list. I just need to, you know, arrange them and stuff and do technical stuff and work with my sound engineer. But for Kiss Poppy, my band, which is funk rock, we have upcoming collaboration EP with Cosmic Kid. It's a punk rock band. It's punk x funk because we are funk. And yeah. So I'm excited for that. We have two original songs. And it's going to be released probably next 2 months. So yeah, that's...
Oh, great, great.
Hi there, Zesty. Enjoying the conversation? Please don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to your pods. You can also follow the show on Instagram and YouTube, where I share clips and highlights of the episode. If you want me to stay caffeinated, you may also buy me a coffee or two. Just head down to the episode notes to find out how. Now, back to the regular program.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you.
And so, where can our listeners find you, Kersley?
I'm in Spotify, and yeah, just search for Kersley Potter. The one, because there are, like, if you're gonna search for it, like, there are my personal account and artist account. Just go to my artist account. Spotify, iTunes, and other musical platforms as well. And yeah, I have 3 compilation album already, so feel free to listen. And it sounds really different, so you may be weirded out. It sounds really different, but yeah, just feel free. I'm asking for just like 30 minutes of your time to listen to my art or my music. Yeah, that's it.
Sure. And your Instagram accounts or websites?
Instagram.
It's at Kersley Potter.
Yeah, my Instagram account is Kersley Potteristic. It's a private account, by the way, so it's not really public. Because I don't really promote myself that much, but I have a Facebook account, and I have a manager friend like handling it. It's not really that serious stuff. So just search for Kersley Potter, the one with a picture, and of course with my funk rock band, Kiss Poppy. It's also on Spotify, iTunes, and other platforms. Also on Instagram, Kiss Poppy, and also on Facebook as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Kersley, for sharing a bit of yourself to our Zesties today. Hopefully, you've truly enjoyed this conversation as I did.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for sharing. And we'll be waiting for your upcoming events.
Yeah, thank you so much, Glee, for, you know, inviting me here, and I really enjoyed talking to you as well.
Hey Zesty, what do you think of this episode? I'd be very happy to hear from you. You may send your feedback to gleefultalkshow@gmail.com or rate us on the podcasting platform of your choice. Comment or tag us on Gleeful Talk Show social media. See ya!